Hello, welcome to Q&A with Perry A. about calcium bentonite clay. It's a great day here in Texas, and I'm hoping you're having one too, and maybe we can insert a little clay into your life and make it even better. I'd like to start with a little bit of business today, and I know we have some new listeners coming in, so encourage you to ask questions, and I'll try to go over a little bit about what clay is and how it works to help you understand it. The first thing I wanted to say was we have something new on the calcium bentonite info, not calcium bentonite, bentoniteclayinfo.com website. I have been encouraged by several people to charge for my services, which I don't do. But I did realize that I was spending like over $3,000 a year to provide these services, the webinars, the website maintenance, the sending out the mailing. All of those have things I have to subscribe to be able to do it, and it adds up to quite a bit. And since I'm retired, that's a pretty big chunk out of my own pocket. So they've encouraged me to put up a contribution site on the website, that if anybody wants to contribute somewhat to that, they can go there, and it's a little red link on the website, and you can give $3, $5, whatever amount you want. Any little bit would help. You can do it on a monthly basis, or you can do a one-time periodically whenever you feel like it, or you feel like I've helped you a lot with services rendered. It's sort of a payment for services rendered if you want to, but it's a voluntary payment and nothing is required. You can listen as long as you like, and I'll try to keep maintaining this as much as I can, but I would appreciate a little help if I could get it. So I wanted to explain about that and then get on with the day. We have quite a few questions in queue, so I'm going to go over to those and we'll start. Roberta Sepik in Lakewood. Is it okay to take clay with thyroid, cholesterol, and high blood pressure meds? Will it cause constipation, and if so, what should I do to remedy it? Good questions, Roberta. On the medicines, we always say to check with your pharmacy and see how long it takes to absorb your medicines and then take the clay. Generally, it's an hour or two. It depends on the medicine. So they know the strength of the medicine you're taking and what you're taking. So just call them and ask them. And once it's absorbed into the bloodstream, the clay never goes into the bloodstream. So it's not going to interfere with your medicines once you've absorbed them. And will it cause constipation? 20% of the people get constipated. 80% notice they start having good, firm bowel movements away. There's something magical about clay that it can help stop constipation and it can help stop diarrhea at the same time. It's all about balance, and it wants to bring your body into balance. And when your body's out of balance, these problems occur. Sometimes we've been constipated all our life, and our peristalsic muscles have pretty much quit working because we've been taking laxatives a long time. So the clay in and of itself does not cause the constipation. It's something out of balance in your digestive system. But if you do, there's a simple remedy. Either take whatever you take to keep your janitorial services working, and I recommend over-the-counter magnesium tablets. We all need more magnesium anyway. I like the tablets because you can cut them in a half. I get the 250 milligram, and I take them morning and night. I've been constipated all my life, and clay hasn't changed it. So, but I fluctuate. It depends on how much water I'm drinking and how many greens I'm eating. If I eat spinach and apples, I don't have to worry about anything. So the good thing about the magnesium tablets is you can cut them in half. You can take a whole one. If you don't need that much, you can take a half. If you need one and a half, if you need two, whatever, you can adjust it easily and find your happy place. So that takes care of that question. The next question Roberta asks, will it cause constipation? Not necessarily. It, in and of itself, it doesn't, but it may show up a problem in your digestive system that causes the constipation as it's trying to balance it and get things back in order. Clay has some healthy microorganisms that are good for your gut, and if you need to take probiotics or something, you can take that. How important, this is Mary Law, and I want to thank Mary Law and also Regina Miller, who has, Rosalinda Miller, excuse me, I got my names mixed up. I knew I was saying something wrong, for encouraging me to put up the contribution site. They fussed at me and said I need to be able to receive something for people who want to give if you've helped them, because I'd helped them and they were wanting to support me in some way. So I want to thank them for that encouragement. Mary said, how important is it to get a good quality clay that specifies dietary supplement or food grade on the container if one wants to ingest or drink the liquid clay? All clays are different, so this makes it complicated. Some works better than others. All of them you're going to get some results with. It's just we've had a lot of people say they can tell a difference in the clay that I prefer and other clays. So it will should say on there for internal use, and if it doesn't say for internal use, there's a reason, so I wouldn't take it internally. It's not, clay is hard to classify for the FDA and the health label laws, because it's not a drug and it's not a food and it's not a supplement. It's a balancer, but you have to sell it pretty much under one of those categories. And several companies have their clay tested and make sure it meets food grade standards. And some post it on their website, and some you have to ask them if you want to know. They have to be careful about what they can put on their label. They can't make a healing claim, and the FDA is real strict about what goes on labels. So they can't always put their testing and things on the label or on their website. So that makes it a little difficult, but if find a knowledgeable person and ask them if it's safe for internal use. And there are some good knowledgeable ones. You know, I've ordered like 40 clays and compared them to the Living Clay brand, and it's amazing when you compare them, when you mix them, you can compare them. Some of them are very gritty. Some of them don't swell. When you add the water, it doesn't expand. It just sits in a little pool of water. It separates the water and the clay below, sort of like sand does, so water drifts out of it. So a lot of the cheap clays out there are cheap for a reason, and we've had so many people said, I wish I'd known before I ordered this. So if you've got a cheap clay that's real gritty and has a taste when you drink it, a good clay usually has no taste. It's just cool. So those are some of the things. And if you go to the free information site, bentoniteclayinfo.com, there are articles on there on what to look for and on the comparison, how to compare two clays and see what you get. Okay? Roxanne Wakovic in Winterport. Hello, Perry. I'm on the leaky gut immune plan the word didn't complete, so I don't know what it, I don't know if she was trying to say thyroid or what, but anyway, she's on the plan for, immune plan for leaky gut. I have chronic diarrhea for 22 years. For 22 years. I started taking living clay after very loose bowel movement. Yesterday, which was Sunday, I must have done it 10 times. Today, I started off with only one not so bad bowel movement, but it went downhill. After that, I'm taking a teaspoon and a fourth of a cup of good water. Did not stir with a metal spoon. Please help me. Okay, it's leaving it in prolonged contact with metal. So you don't want to leave your clay in the spoon, metal spoon, or you don't want to leave metal in prolonged contact with it. If you're just stirring it up, you're not going to harm it that much. However, when you stir clay lumps and it sticks to the spoon, it's like stirring flour and water. You get a paste and you get knots in it because it's dry on the inside and wet on the outside and it hasn't hydrated fully. So if you're going to mix a teaspoon and a fourth of a cup of water, which is 2 ounces, you need to shake it real good and break it up. And it needs to be a rounded teaspoon. What I recommend to everyone, instead of doing it one little thing at a time, because it doesn't always have time to swell good or mix good, and you get a little greediness with it that way. If you have a blender, in your blender, put 2 cups of water, a half a cup of clay, and 2 more cups of water. So your clay is sandwiched between the clay. So 2 cups of water, a half a cup of clay, and 2 more cups of water. Blend it. Start it slow so it doesn't splatter the dry clay up on the sides. Start it slow, and then blend it on high for 30 seconds. Pour it into you need a 32-ounce or quart container. That's what 4 cups is, of either glass or food-grade plastic with a plastic lid. So put it in something like that. And then go by in the morning and just, or whenever you take your clay, and you can just pour off. I use a little Dixie cup. I don't even measure. You don't have to be accurate. In your case with leaky gut, I would definitely have you taking a larger doses. So I would take, start at 2 ounces 3 times a day and every day increase it by 1 ounce until you get about 4 ounces. You can go 6 or 8 ounces if you need to, but keep increasing it until it's starting to firm up a little bit, because the second day, I think you said, it started with just one not so bad bowel movement. So it's working. You definitely need more clay. And don't worry about overdosing on clay. It's very, very difficult to do that. You have to take like 50% of your daily intake in clay, and I don't know anybody who can eat that much clay or drink that much clay. But I have had people drink 8 ounces 3 times a day with remarkable gut improvement. One lady had Crohn's disease, irritable bowel, leaky gut, ulcerative colitis, and polyps. And in 4 months' time, it all cleared up. And the doctor said she went from the colon of a 70-year-old to the colon of a 20-year-old. They wanted to know how she did it. And, of course, one of the doctors, when she told him she was taking clay 3 times a day, told her to stop taking it. So, fortunately, she didn't stop taking it. Once she healed, she cut back, and she's taking about 4 ounces 3 times a day now. And so that's the beauty of clay. When you get where you're doing good, keep it up for a little while until you're sure you're at a level you want to be, and then gradually you can cut back on the amount and find your maintenance level after it is balanced out the body. I think I answered everything in that question. I definitely stick with it. It's trying to work. I think if you take a fourth of a cup is 2 ounces. So you're taking a teaspoon and 2 ounces of clay. The ratio that I gave you, the 4 cups of water to a half a cup of clay, is a 1-to-8 ratio. So you're getting the same amount in every 2 ounces that you pour out. You're getting that rounded teaspoon amount. So you just need to increase the amount you're taking. I would be taking that at least three times a day. And then the next day, take 3 ounces three times a day. And then you can stay there for a day or two and then take 4 ounces three times a day until you get to where you're seeing the results you want. Maya Gorinsky in Thornhill, how do you treat severe anemia, low ferritin and hemoglobin? Somebody with low blood levels in all areas, what is the protocol for that? It's drinking the liquid clay. You want to drink the clay and you want to put, just drinking the clay. If you drink 2 ounces three times a day away from your prescription medicines, it's going to build your red blood cells. Clay doesn't enter the bloodstream, but clay is a catalyst. And as a catalyst, body enzymes attach to the clay, and together they can make things that the clay doesn't even contain. So it works with diastase and oxidase enzymes. These are created with the clay, and that enriches the blood and brings more oxygen to the blood. We've had tests done, and there's an article on the bentonite clayinfo.com site about the blood testing, and a gentleman who does the blood testing, the dried blood test samples, started his customers with anemia on the clay, and he checked their clay at first, and under a microscope, there are even pictures on the site. It shows the blood cells are small, and they're all clustered together, and there's little debris in the background, and I asked him what the debris was, and he said it's sort of trash. The blood is not clear. So in 6 weeks' time, he took another slide, and the blood cells are big and large and off by themselves, have a dark line around them, and the background is clear. So in 6 weeks, expect to see, if you're drinking the clay, expect to see an improvement in your anemia. And I would start with 2 ounces three times a day and go to at least 3 ounces three times a day. All right. Thank you for that. Does clay react in any way with metal in my teeth? No, ma'am. I have talked to several dentists, and the metals in your mouth are non-deteriorating, so they don't put anything in there that deteriorates. So it won't interfere with them. I've been drinking clay for 20 years, and I have all sorts of different metals in my teeth. I've got gold and silver and whatever, other kinds as well that you can't see, the enamel ones, and no problems whatsoever. Dentists, in fact, use the clay when they remove the amalgam fillings that leak mercury because it absorbs the mercury before it goes into the body, and they'll have their patients drinking it before and after they remove them. So it's very good for them. Don't worry if you have metal implants in your body. The clay never touches them. It doesn't go into the bloodstream, so it never come in contact them, and they are non-deteriorating metals. Most of them are titanium or something that doesn't rust or deteriorate, and the clay has to be in contact with it, to do that. So good questions today. Let's see what else we have here. Mary in Kansas, someone asked me if a dosage of liquid clay is ever based on a person's weight. I didn't think so, but said I would ask yay or nay. Thanks, Mary. No, it's not. Now, if you're an infant, you don't need as much. And in the book, and there is a section there that tells you how much for infants. They just take a lesser amount, a smaller amount, maybe a teaspoon of the liquid, depending on if they're infant to 6 months old. If they're a toddler, they can have a good teaspoon or maybe 2 teaspoons a day, something like that. But no, it doesn't matter how much you weigh. And like I said, you're not going to overdose on clay. And Melissa in Dana Point, California, suggestions for multiple uterine fibroid cysts. Had about 10 taken out and have 20 more. The doc says they are seeds. Thank you very much. A poultice over your stomach. Look up where the uterine fibroid cysts are on the website and find that area and put a poultice at night over that area. You can also take clay douches, and it is 2 ounces of clay to a pint of water, and you can douche with that. That helps. And then drinking the clay. Again, I'd start with 2 ounces 3 times a day and build up to 3 ounces. There is an article I can send you. Your email is on here. I'll capture that and send you this article on dissolving fibroid tumors and helping with that. So thank you for that question. Help is on the way. All right, Barb in Vancouver, British Columbia. Okay, hi, Perrier. Could you please provide the ratio of liquid to murine for the eye wash? Okay, for the, and I don't know, murine is an eye wash. I get the sterile eye solution. And if you will go to bentoniteclayinfo.com, there's a free downloadable booklet, How to Kickstart Your Day with a Triple Swelling Calcium Bentonite Clay. And in there it shows the liquid and how to make it and the different types of eyewash solution. So it's basically, I'm trying to think, for 4 ounces of liquid, it's 1 or 2 tablespoons of clay. If you go there and look in there, it'll tell you. I forget sometimes. I think it's 1 tablespoon of clay for 4 ounces of the liquid. It could be 2. And I've used that as an eye wash myself. And when I have allergies, I also put the liquid clay on a cotton pad, close my eyes, and hold it over my eye and lay down for about 10 or 15 minutes. And it stops the itching when you get allergies and you want to scratch your eyeball out. And it also will clean your tear duct. You may have some white, runny stuff coming out of your eyes the first few times you do it. So it's good to clean that tear duct and keep from getting dry eyes. You know, I just use it myself occasionally. And it is said to help with cataracts if you do the drops and the little poultice, like I said, with the liquid clay on it over your eyes daily. But I haven't had, I've read that in a book from a reliable source. I haven't had any testimonials from anyone that it helps the cataract, so take that for what it's worth. It came from a book by a very reputable author, Raymond Dexter, talks about it in his book, Earth Cures. And I learned a lot about clay from him. He was one of the forefathers of understanding clay and herbs back in the, but he's from France, and his book has been translated. Thank you. I think the contribution link on your website is wonderful. What's the website for contribution link again, please? Thanks. Thank you so much. I didn't want to offend anybody with this, so it's all on a volunteer basis. So the website is bentoniteclayinfo.com. And we put the little contribution link in red because this is something new up there. It'll be in the top bar. And you may have to refresh your page. If it doesn't show up, just refresh your page. And it should show up. I hit F5 to refresh my page. And thank you, Barb, for that. Dina in Arizona. Hi, Perry. I have been doing a detox protocol, 2 ounces 3 times a day at the 8-to-1 ratio. I have been constipated. I am paying attention to water intake. Should I increase or decrease the clay? Don't decrease the clay. Go get you some magnesium tablets. 250 milligrams. Look on the back and make it magnesium oxide. You can take one in the morning or one at night. You can take two in the morning, two at night. You can take one and a half. You know, just find what your happy place is with the magnesium, and that will keep you flowing. It sort of oxygenates the bowels and aerates things so they don't get so compacted and hard. Water, drinking water is good with anything. We should be drinking half our body weight in water a day, particularly in the summertime. So you have your body weight in ounces, and let me say that. So if you weigh 100 pounds, you would want to drink 50 ounces of water a day. And 4 times 8 is 58, so it's 48. So you're, that would be close. That would be 4 8-ounce glasses of water a day, just to give you an idea. Most of us weigh more than 50 pounds. I think they usually say drink 8 ounce glasses of water a day, which is just good for cleansing and circulating it and keeping things flowing in your body and getting things that don't need to be in there taken out. So I think that will help you. An Alma in Baton Rouge. I have a rescue cat that is pitifully thin. No matter how much she eats, she also has severe diarrhea. The vet put her on a prescription food and said to add pumpkin. The consistency of her bowel movements became like soft pudding, but still not normal. She is still terribly thin. Would clay help, and how much? Is there anything else you would recommend for them in addition? Yes, I think the clay will help, and I have had people that have mixed the clay with pumpkin to feed it to their pets. You know, I would start with a good, generous teaspoon of the clay mask. You make the mask, it's a 1-to-3 ratio if you're using the living clay. If you're using a different clay, it's probably a 1-to-1 ratio. But definitely that, and I think if you add that to her food, you can add it to pumpkin to give it to her if you like. Pets seem to like the pumpkin. We have some cats that won't eat their food if you don't put the clay in it. And I know Paul Mackey, who sells the clay, said he had a dog, and if he forgot to put the clay in the dog bowl, the dog would just sit there and look at him and wouldn't eat until he realized he had forgotten to give her clay. So animals like it. It'll be great for them. I think she'll gain weight. Her poop will get stronger, and she'll have more energy as well. So if you have a pet, give your pet some clay. You know, if it's a kitten, you want to give us maybe a teaspoon. You can give 2 teaspoons. In her case, I'd probably give her two teaspoons to start with, maybe even see if it works, and if not, increase to a tablespoon. And you can go as much as 2 tablespoons even for them. I think you'll have really good results. And let me know. I'd like to hear from you. My information should be on that Bentonite Clay info site, how to contact me. And by the way, while I'm at it, I'm getting away from doing taking the 800 number calls. Sprint has notified me that within a year they'll no longer be acknowledging our 800 numbers. And since nobody pays for long distance calls anyway, I've tried to take it off all the information that I have out there. So if you want to call me, use the 512 number, 512-262-7187, and it should be on the website there. I'm easy to contact. I'll be happy to talk to you. Now, if you call that number and then it shows up as another number, it's because I have it forwarded to my cell phone. So, all right. Have you heard of anyone using clay as a cancer treatment? Yes, I have, but I don't really recommend it as just that, because there's so many cancer means so many different things. We've had pets with tumors that it dissolved the tumors, but they were surface tumors. I heard a gentleman tell me that his father cured himself of prostate cancer using a clay poultice around the base of his penis and doing clay and coffee enemas. He'd add clay to his coffee enema. And I just, you know, cancer is such a deadly, nasty thing that I wouldn't want to recommend you down the wrong path. And unless we know where it is and how quickly to get it on, if you're prone to skin cancers, use clay facials and put them on regularly, and they'll keep those little skin cancers from appearing. If you have a certain area, maybe on your arms or your face, where those, I know fair-complected people, when they get older, get these little skin cancers, and put the clay on there, just put it on at night and sleep with it on there, and generally they dry up and fall off. And like I said, we had several critters with tumors. One had an abscess on her tail that was like a tumor, and that cleared up. The vet wanted to amputate her tail. And we've had dogs, one dog had a tumor right between his eyes, and the vet said they couldn't operate on it. And he was a Doberman, a year old Doberman, and they started putting clay on there, and it dissolved the tumor, it went away. And then the vet said, well, the hair will never grow back, and they kept putting the clay on there, and the hair grew back. And he's 2 years old now and running around frisky and healthy. Another one had an operation on his hind leg on the inside to remove a tumor, and they said it probably come back, and it did. And they started putting clay on there. I don't know how they kept it in place, but they did, and it eventually went away and didn't come back. But, you know, cancer is a dangerous thing, and sometimes I just wouldn't want to take you down a wrong path. I would use it in addition to whatever it's doing. If you know where it is, if it's in your liver, I'd be drinking like 8 ounces 3 times a day, and I'd put a poultice over your liver at night. If it's in addition to whatever you're going to do with the doctors, see what I'm saying? And if you're taking chemo, you definitely need clay to help get rid of the toxicity after the chemo, and it also helps balance your body, and your immune system is pretty much destroyed with chemo, so drinking the clay kind of helps protect your immune system, and it wants to bring the body back in balance. So I also believe in prayers for that, so I join you in prayer for whatever type of cancer or concern or for whomever. And wish you the very best. Well, it looks like we're done with questions here for a moment, so let me go over to the phone line and see if anybody on the line would like to add something. If you would like to ask a question, if you click star 2 on your phone, that will... All right, here's a caller. Hello, are you there?
Oh, hi. Hi, this... Yes, hi, this is Alma from Baton Rouge.
Uh-huh, hi, Alma.
Yes, I'm the one that asked a question about the cat. And I was a little bit confused as of the dosage of the clay, because when you first started, you said, you know, you use it in the consistency of the mask, which is 1 to 3. So I was just a little confused. Were you speaking of before you put the clay in the food, mix it one part clay and 3 parts water?
Yes, uh-huh. And you want to shake it. If it's a small amount, if you have a blender and you want to make it up and you'd use clay, everybody ought to keep the clay mask on hands for insect bites, rashes, summertime bumps and bruises and things we get into, just giving yourself a clay facial. Skin, summertime is very harsh on your skin, so giving yourself a facial. So,
but
if you have a blender, put 3 cups of... Well, the same thing goes for the cat. What I'm saying is mix the mask up. It's 1 to 3. I used 3 cups of water and 1 cup of clay in a blender and blend it for 30 seconds and pour it in an airtight container. And then from that, you can take out whatever amounts you need to feed your cat. to add to their food, or you can.
Oh, okay.
You can also use it for other things.
Okay, I think I'm getting it now. In other words, give her, say the adult cat, maybe 2 teaspoons of that, maybe put into canned food or something. And then you said maybe as much as a tablespoon. Okay, I'm getting it now.
And
okay.
If they eat dry food, if you have some of the liquid mixed up, you can pour an ounce of that over their food as well.
An ounce over the dry. Well, it would absorb the liquid and be, okay, an ounce. And may I mention one other thing? Someone I ran into a couple of weeks ago, their dog, they didn't know it, little chihuahua is bitten or some small dog, had a terrible, terrible wound on his leg, oozing pus and blood, and I recommended my vet, and she brought it, and it was a brown recluse spider bite, and of course he charged her $267, you know, expensive antibiotic plus IV, and she had finally, I suggested Epsom salts, and she'd finally soaked it in Epsom salts, you know, as a last resort, and the vet said that did help. And I was thinking, too, in addition to doing that, she could have packed the wound with clay and maybe saved herself that bill. I don't know if you'd say exclusively pack the wound with clay, but I'd tend to want to do both, you know, soak it in Epsom salts and then dry it and then soak it in clay. But I don't really
actually, the clay will do everything and more than the Epsom salts, because it's going to pull the infection out and it's going to capture the bad bacteria. It's clean the wound, and it'll stimulate the healing, too. And we've used it on brown recluse bryce, and it kept them from getting to the stage where it was so large and eating the flesh or, you know, breaking the flesh away. It will stop that. So the sooner you get it on there, the quicker it'll start healing. And you just put the mud over the site, you know. And if it's on a pet, they're going to try to lick it off. You may have to put a collar on them or put them outside for a while and let it dry, because it's hard to wrap them in plastic. You don't want them to chew through the plastic and choke on it. Put it on and put them outside for a while for it to dry. But there are pet testimonials on that website, clayinfo.com, bentoniteclayinfo.com. There are lots of pet sites there about dog bites and bites where they had puncture wounds and that they heal. So thank you for thinking of that.
And
I really don't think you need the Epsom salts with it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You don't think it's necessary. The consistency of the clay that you pack in the wound, do you do it like one part water, one part clay, more or less? What consistency?
It depends on what type of clay you're using. If you're using living clay, it's a 1-to-3 ratio, and it makes it like a pudding-like consistency.
Okay.
A 1-to-3 should give it a pudding-like. Now, some clays won't absorb and swell as much as the living clay. So if you put 3 parts water to 1 part clay, you're going to have the clay at the bottom and a pool of water you have to pour off because it's just liquid. It doesn't set up and swell. But it should be about the consistency of a pudding or sour cream, something like that. Okay?
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that. Thanks for bringing up our pets. We need to take care of our pets, too. Okay, I'm going to check back and see if we have any more questions. We don't. And if anyone else would like to ask a question, press *2 on your phone. And I'm not seeing anything, and our 30 minutes is up. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for your encouragement and for being there and for supporting this site and sharing it with your friends and spreading the word about clay. If you use it, you will love it. You know, to use it is to love it. And like I say, I never considered myself as selling clay. If I can just get it in you and on you, it will sell itself, and you want to share it with everyone. It's that great. It's an amazing product, and God gave it to us, so keep your clay handy during the summertime, sunburns, insect bites, lots of things going on as we hike and bike and get bumps and bruises and bug bites and all sorts of things out there. So keep your clay handy and have a wonderful weekend. This is Perrier signing out.